Well, good afternoon and welcome to Thursday's Local Radio Hour. I am your host, David Keyes, and I've got Tag hanging out back there, and I've got, looks like, Pat, I think his name is.
Jim.
The trivial guy.
Trivial.
Who finished second place last night in trivia down at Connie's. Well done, sir.
I had a couple partners. I didn't do this alone.
No.
My beautiful wife, Christy, who's and our part-time partner, Don, Dan, Dave, that sounds familiar.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. No, that was a lot of fun last night. I've done that twice with you guys now, and the last time I remembered it was during, there was Northern Lights afterwards.
Yes.
And that was kind of cool, so I went out and looked at that and called you guys up, and you went and checked it out yourself.
Yeah, Chris Steven went out and took some video and pictures.
Yeah, that's been fun, though. So trivia night is really taking off, it looks like, to me.
Yes, Wednesdays at Connie's. It's a Jeopardy-style format. We have a blast with it. Yeah. Only $5 a person. It's from 7 to 9 every Wednesday night. People, get down to Connie's if you like some. And it's a good time. Our host, Toshi.
Yeah, he's fun.
He's a natural entertainer. It's fun.
So, you know, we had some interesting international guests, too. There was a couple from New Zealand,
Kiwis.
Some Kiwis there. And so we're talking about United States Trivial Pursuit stuff. I kind of felt sorry for them. They were having fun, though. They really were.
They had a blast, yeah.
So I kept looking back, and, you know, we'd have just the sliver of, you know, hint there that we could barely get. And I'm thinking, that's lost something in translation, I'm sure. So, but no, they did fine.
Safe to say they're on the mountain today. They've been here. From New Zealand through Canada, they were up in all the ski hills in BC.
Yeah,
now they've been working Schweitzer for the last little bit. And they're up on the hill today. They've been on the hill literally every day for the time they've been in Sandpoint.
Yeah, the power of the Icon Pass. That's what they said. That's what brought them here. So,
yeah.
Well, you never know. You never know for sure. But that was fun. No, it's a good time for sure and a good turnout, and they've done a really good job there. Well, as I mentioned, my name's David. I'm your host today. We've got some great guests today, too, by the way.
Pat. Yes, we do.
I know. We've got former mayor Paul Graves. He's still mayor. I always call him mayor.
Mayor Paul Graves. Yeah. I can't. Former just doesn't sound right.
Yep. Well, I ran into him a while ago. He kind of has a perch. In the used to be Columbia Bank building, Umpqua now. And so he was always working on his columns and different things there. And he let me know that he was moving off to Oregon. And so I thought, oh, we need to talk to you about a little bit about what you see here and what we're doing that. So we'll come back to him.
And what's ahead in Oregon, yeah. I'm curious.
I know. So isn't that a good teaser there, isn't it? That's really good. And so then we also have my friend Max. Max Oswald is now almost done 2 years of being the sports editor at the Daily Bee. And this is his time of year where he is busy, busy, busy. One thing. Busy as a bee. Yeah, on the Daily Bee, which isn't really a daily. They miss a Monday, just so you know.
It's
almost Daily Bee.
6-5-6 daily.
Yeah, you go.
Yeah.
So
I believe that's 6 out of 7. Would that be, 80?
Oh, help me with 80, that.
80, yeah. 83, no. I'm trying to do my, that's 5 out of 6.
I was told there'd be no math involved with this.
91% daily. Yeah, 91% weekly.
There you go. But 100% accurate.
Yes.
That's the cool thing about what Max does. So one thing he does differently than Mark Nelke, and Mark Nelke, Paul remembers him, he could have run for mayor. Or maybe county commissioner, or maybe governor. I'm not quite sure. He had quite a following, and Max is kind of following along that line, too. Always popular with the parents who have the kids in the sports.
Mayor
for sure.
Max Oswald.
Mayor Max. Yeah, I like the sound of that.
Oh, yeah. Hmm.
So the cool thing is they can't hear us when we're talking between each other.
I know. It's so fun.
But one thing he does is he keeps track of the number of inches and number of stories that he writes a lot of times, and he'll post that. And it's staggering. It's amazing to think that he has an early deadline. He has basketball, wrestling going on, all sorts of stuff going on right now. And, of course, everybody calls him at the same time with their sports. And he's also covering something live. So he's coming back to the Bee. It's quite a dance there. And, again, he's done a really good job with it. And I'm curious to catch up with him again. And I'm glad he's back today, too. And then to round out the hour, we have Rob Talbot. And Rob, as we all know, is the executive director of the Panada. And they're just doing some great things. They're in a fundraising drive right now to work on the entry area. And so he'll be telling us more about how that's going. And
Love Rob. Love the Panada. Absolutely love the accent.
Don't you, though?
Yeah.
Yeah, he just keeps going, too.
Yeah.
It's funny. It's hard to pull him off the mountain, though. He's a ski guy. So,
is he?
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Yeah, so he's always...
Maybe he's running to our Kiwis.
Yeah.
Can you imagine him talking in that East drawl of his with our Kiwis from last night, who I understood 4 out of 5 words they said?
They were great, though. They really were fun.
Yeah, they're fun. They were a fun couple. So.
And speaking of fun, I think we're going to take a break right now. And then when we come back, we're going to have Mayor Paul Graves, and we're going to talk about his years as mayor here, the years he and Sue have been in Sandpoint, and maybe a plan or two moving west from here. So we'll be back right after the break.
The Hydra on 2nd and Lake is Sandpoint's original steakhouse. Stop in today for lunch or dinner.
Mondays are local appreciation all day from 11 a.m. to 9 p.m. 15% off your bill with an Idaho driver's license. No exclusions, even on fillets and crab legs. Proudly serving Idaho-raised and processed USDA choice beef and everything fried in Snake River Farms beef tallow.
Come on back to the Hydra for lunch or dinner today. The Hydra, 2nd and Lake in Sandpoint.
As the mornings get cooler and the days get shorter, we all know it won't be long until the snow starts flying. Don't wait till the last minute this year. Squeaky's Truck and Auto on Highway 200 in Kootenai has the best prices of the season. Right now on snow plows for your SUVs, small and large trucks, and skid steers. You can't beat their low prices on plows and installation. So head on over to Squeaky's on Highway 200 in Kootenai as appointments are filling up fast and prices are the lowest of the season.
Say yes to a healthy new year with a YMCA membership and make your Y the place to get healthy. At the Y, there's so much more than fitness classes, pools, and gym equipment. There are programs that support the whole health of your entire family. And right now, you can get started with no join fee, up to an $88 savings, and no contracts. The YMCA is a place where everyone belongs, and wellness is more than just a buzzword. From swim lessons and activity spaces for youth and teens to yoga and pickleball, check out everything the Y has to offer by visiting ymcainw.org. When you add it all up, a Y membership delivers exceptional value month after month. And now with expanded weekend hours, there's never been a better time to join. Make the YMCA your place too. Visit ymcainw.org today. Prorated membership dues apply. Offer good through January 31st.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Winter Sale and get 30% off paints and stains January 17th through the 27th. With prices starting at $34.29, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your bedroom, living room, or home office, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Shop the sale online or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
On the battlefield, there's a saying America's military men and women live by. Never leave a fallen warrior behind, ever. Off the battlefield, Wounded Warrior Project operates with the same goal. Wounded Warrior Project was created to help our men and women returning home with the scars of war, whether those scars are physical or mental. Wounded Warrior Project. We never leave a fallen warrior behind, ever. Learn more about what we do at WoundedWarriorProject.org.
News Talk 97.1, KSPT, KBFI.
We're here for a good time.
Well, good afternoon again, and welcome back to Thursday's Local Radio Hour. I'm sitting across the table now with Paul Graves, the man, the legend, the former mayor, and he shared some news with me that he was moving, and I wanted to have a little time to talk to you today a little about your plans there, Paul. So if you could maybe fill us in and say hi to the audience.
Okay. Hi to David first and hi to the audience, yes. Yeah. Over a number of months, we decided that we wanted to be close to our son and his family. They live in Hillsboro, Oregon, just out of Portland, just west of Portland. And so over a course of some time, we decided that the pain of leaving Sandpoint, which, and it is,
right,
was had to be balanced with our desire to be close to our kids.
Right.
We're at an age where we know the bodies aren't going to last like they used to be. Mm-hmm. And so it turns out we're moving into a retirement community, a brand new retirement community in downtown Hillsboro, and it's only 5 minutes from our son's home.
Oh, wonderful.
So that's a real bonus.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
And so we'll be moving on the 13th of March.
Oh, so it is coming right up as far as that goes.
It's coming up faster and faster.
Yeah.
And so we have to pack faster and faster.
I'm sure you do. Many people, I have the benefit of looking at you and seeing you. A lot of people would know you by seeing you. But I know that you've been here a long time. You're also a former mayor. And
right.
Well, tell me about this. Tell me about how you and or Sue at that point moved to Sandpoint, and how long have you been here? And tell us the history there, and we'll kind of do a chronological.
A real summary, because I was a United Methodist pastor for in active parish work for 27 years. The last seven were here in Sandpoint. We moved here in late June of 1988. And then in 7 years later, we ended up taking a sabbatical. I was kind of close to burning out from parish work, and so we took a year off, stayed here, and in the course of that year decided to stay here instead of moving on to another United Methodist church someplace else. And I ended up getting involved in geriatric social work, first over at what is now the Valley Vista.
Oh.
It was called Mountainside Care Center at the time. And so I just started making a vocational life for us.
Yeah.
And so I've been really involved in geriatric social work in one form or another, paid or volunteer, ever since 96,
okay.
Summer of 96.
Yeah.
My church pension, folks decided that I was retired, and so they started to pay me, and I didn't deny them that perception of being retired, but I've referred to myself since probably 2005 as refocused.
Refocused.
Yeah.
And you go with the term old geezer or geezer, too. Is that an insult or is that a compliment?
Oh, it's a great compliment.
Okay.
I began to look at the word geezer. I love words. I love the etymology of words. And so I looked at it and discovered that it was an old English Cockney word that meant disguise. Hmm. Well, that meant to me that a geezer was somebody who was had a hopeful, positive attitude toward life and lived in the disguise of gray hair and wrinkles.
Who knew? I didn't know that. Wow.
Well, I'm still preaching that.
Yeah, you really are, right? You've started a geezer forum, and that's been going on for a while, and that's a live interaction
right,
meeting.
Right. Yeah. It evolved out of the Dear Geezer column that I started in 2009 for the Daily Bee, and I decided that I wanted to get people in interacting with each other to talk about aging related issues. And so in January of 2012, we started the Geezer Forum. When I started writing about geezers, people were thinking that was a negative word. It has that a negative connotation over the years.
Sure.
And I've been trying to re-educate people to understand that it's a very honorable word.
Yeah.
At least the way I describe it. And so they'd say, how old do you have to be? And I didn't want to give a particular age. That's self-fulfilling prophecy.
Right.
You know. But I said, well, maybe people in their 50s are geezers in waiting.
Okay.
And when you turn 60, you're a geezer in training. And when I turned 70, I announced for anybody who was interested that my training wheels were welded on, and I hope theirs were too, that they continue to learn.
Very good.
So so folks who attend the forums are there for information to expand their understanding of resources in the community, as well as resources within themselves.
Okay.
In how they choose to age.
Very good. And so the forums were monthly or quarterly? Well, or?
Before COVID, we had them twice a month.
Okay.
And after we got back into meeting in person after the COVID pandemic, our planning team said, let's try once a month, because we just didn't know. Well, we've kept with that. Mm-hmm. So we're meeting on the second Tuesdays of every month in the afternoon. And now with Sue and me leaving, we have found a new host for the Geezer Forum.
Oh, good.
And we're very, very happy about that. Lisa Bond from SASE, she's the director of the Senior Center. She is going to be the new host, and we're doing transition kinds of talking with each other. I just saw her within the last hour.
Perfect.
It's going to be a really good transition.
Yeah, no, she's really a professional, and she wants to raise the awareness too of geezerdom, I'm sure. So,
yes,
good.
Yes, yes. There was some debate within our team as to whether or when to hold our last forum with me there,
yeah.
which will be the 11th of February.
Okay.
And the debate was where to have it, whether it was going to be at the community room at Umpqua Bank like we've had mm-hmm. for the history of the forum, or whether it would make a transition over to the Senior Center.
Oh.
And I found out just this morning that the team with Lisa leading it, that they decided to do it at the community room.
Okay, so one last time there, more than likely.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it sounds like maybe they might for the next couple months, maybe through the end of the school year, mm-hmm. which is when we stop. I call it a geezer season. it looks like it may be at the community room.
Oh.
Until the end of the school year,
sure.
and then probably transition over to the Senior Center in the fall.
So stay tuned on that. Lisa will
tell
us.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
But in February, we'll be at the community room.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
And the baton will be passed at that point, too.
It will be.
Yeah.
And I think it's just going to be kind of a party and meet and greet. And I'll probably say some things, and other people might say some
kick in some
flattering things.
Oh, and, I'm sure they will. How could they not?
Yeah, and so we'll just have a good visit.
Very good, very good. So part of your resume also reminds people that you were the mayor here from 2000 to 2002,
right?
And that was quite a time for Sandpoint too. I'd be curious to hear what you have to think about the growth here, the changes in Sandpoint, your challenges as mayor, and how they may have changed to the newest mayor. Mm-hmm.
I had been on city council for 3 years prior to becoming mayor or taking office. And at that point, and all through my time as mayor, I found myself saying, I'm on a learning curve that's about 135 degrees, and I'm just hanging on. We had a good council. We had good department heads, and they administered managed their programs well, and so we did some good things.
Yeah.
And I found being mayor was both challenging and so rewarding.
And the town hasn't changed at all since then, right?
Not a bit. Not a bit. I wouldn't have the slightest desire to run again.
It's a different deal now, I think, for sure. One thing that people know you for, too, is your column. And you used to write a column in the Daily Bee, as I recall, and then also the Spokesman Review. And you shared with me that you're going to still do the Spokesman Review column from time
yes.
to time.
Yeah, since March of 96, I've been writing a faith and values column for the Spokesman Review. It's hard to believe that I'm coming up on the end of 29 years.
Right.
And but they've asked me to continue it from Hillsborough, and it's easy to do because I'm not looking at just at local issues. Mm-hmm. I may use a local example from time to time, but
sure.
But it's been a delight. It keeps me as spiritually refreshed as I.
Yeah,
as I think I can be, and hopefully it does the same for other people.
It sure does. Mayor, thank you for your time today. It's great that you could stop by and share all this, and we wish you and Sue the best of luck on your journey.
Thank you.
You bet.
It's been a wonderful decade and a half that is going to be right at the center of our memories.
Well, good. Well, happy trails to you. And when we come back, we're going to have Max Oswald, the Daily Bee, latest, greatest sports editor, and we're going to be talking winter sports. So come on back.
This week at the Co-op, we have new products and a great closeout special to tell you about. Patty has brought in a popular natural pain relief cream from Nature's Willow. Willow Balm uses a blend of white willow and botanical oils to provide a soothing, all-natural pain relief option. When you suffer from joint or muscle pain, consider trying Willow Balm from Nature's Willow, now available at the Co-op. All of our beekeeping boxes, clothing, supplies, and equipment items are on closeout with prices from 20 to 60% off. This sale is limited to stock on hand, and all sales are final. We are now fully stocked with yard and garden seeds. We also have seed starting mix and a wide variety of boxed soil amendments from Down to Earth. Find these items and so much more at the Co-op Gas and Supply Company, 125 Tibbetts Lane in Ponderay, 208-263-6820. CoopGasAndSupply.com.
Hi, this is Brett Taylor with Taylor & Sons Chevrolet, serving the greater Sandpoint area. It's time for Taylor & Sons' annual model year-end clearance. Right now, Taylor & Sons has added huge discounts to year-end red tag pricing rebates to offer markdowns on new Chevrolets not seen in years. Taylor & Sons has our best selection of new Chevrolets in quite some time. Brand new 4x4 Silverado 1500 trucks starting at $39,575 plus tax and fees. Couple select member rebates and loyalty rebates for up to $8,250 off MSRP on new Chevrolet Tahoes. Lease a new dealer demonstrator Silverado EV with $5,000 due at signing for $825 per month plus state tax and fees. In addition to these model year and clearance prices, Taylor & Sons has discounted our huge selection of 2025 model Chevrolet inventory. You can view our entire inventory of new Chevrolet vehicles online at tschevy.com. There you will find multiple pictures, detailed descriptions, and clear transaction pricing for every vehicle in stock. For guest-focused service, a world-class facility, and value for your money, it's Taylor & Sons Chevrolet.
1 in 4 Americans have a disability. I'm one of them. I'm also a working mom who cares deeply about making sure every child with a disability thrives by getting their access needs met. We've got a trusted ally by our side. Easter Seals provides children and families the foundation for lifelong success through early learning programs, skills training, and prep for college and career. That's my Easter Seals. Make it yours. Join us at EasterSeals.com.
Let Thick and Thin Beams of Bonner's Ferry, your hometown sawmill, help you spruce up your home with new flooring, a decorative mantle, or desktop. There's something special and satisfying about building your home using local wood. Its beauty and strength are hard to beat. Be sure to check with Thick and Thin Lumber first for all your wood product needs. For fast, reliable service and competitive pricing, come see the mill at 4355 Cow Creek Road or check out the website, tntbeams.com.
Well, welcome back one more time for Thursday's Local Radio Hour. I'm your host, David, and we've got Pat and Tag hanging out over there, too. And I've got Max Oswald here across the table for me. We're going to talk some sports. We were talking about a record that just popped up. Tell me more. Tell the listeners all about that.
Well, yeah. So Asher Williams, a senior at Bonner's Ferry, just set the record for most points in a game. And that was 50 he had at the Backwoods Brawl versus Timberlake. They won 73-28 in that matchup. And Asher scored 31 in the second half, and all 14 of the Badgers' fourth quarter points, so they're kind of feeding them the ball there to get the record, because the record had been disputed. So it was believed to be 43, and he scored 45. But then they said, no, it's actually a lot of the people in Bonner's Ferry said it's actually 46. That came in a home game versus Priest River in 1989, and that was Jeff Nearing. So now that Asher scored 50, that record is not disputed anymore. 50 right. is officially the record.
And in 89, there probably wasn't a three-point arc either.
Maybe, yeah. I tried to look for the old articles myself, but I was unsuccessful. The Herald archives are a little bit more thin, I guess, than the Bees on what's left, at least.
Interesting. Yeah. Yeah. I think it's all digitized, too. You probably get mm-hmm. nose around there. We're sharing off the air that there's another record that's interesting between Bonner's Ferry and Sandpoint, and that's a football record, and it was the number of interceptions thrown in one game. Do you know anything about this at all?
So I originally told you I didn't, but I do remember now. It was 7 or 8. I can't remember, but that was back in the 30s, 40s, something
right.
like that.
Yeah, a real pigskin back then. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And what happened was, me being the intrepid reporter I was back then, I thought, that sounds kind of interesting. So I went and dug up the Herald and the whatever the predecessor was of the Bee at that point. And what I think happened was somebody messed up receptions versus interceptions.
Right.
And so, but then that whole angel and devil thing on my shoulders, I said, do I report this? I mean, what other record is Sandpoint or Bonner's Ferry ever going to have in the National High School record books? So
right.
What do you think I did, Max?
Good question.
I kept it to myself.
Yeah.
So, and I don't know if it's still there or not, but it was just too juicy. And I really couldn't prove it. All I could show were the old newspapers. And I don't know, maybe somebody knew something I didn't. But the art of keeping stats is an interesting one, isn't it?
Yeah, and oftentimes I'm keeping stats of multiple games per night. If I can't make it to a game live, or there's too many games to the point where I can't go live,
right.
I'll actually sit at my desk with both the screens up and stat both the games at the same time, both teams, points, rebounds, assists, blocks, steals, and
really?
Everything. Yep, that's how I do it.
You have a scoreboard or book on both and just kind of keep it.
Yep, going. So I'll pause the one, like the one will have a break, and then I'll restart the other one.
Uh-huh.
And that's, yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Sounds pretty crazy, but I like the stat. You know, you never know what you're going to get with stats on the high school level, so I just like to take my own so I know that they're at least 99% accurate.
Right, right. So what happens the 1% when it's not accurate? I'm sure you hear from people maybe if there's a wrong score or maybe the person had the wrong number of points or something attributed to them.
Yeah, that does happen. And sometimes you can't control it. You know, I'll say for one instance, a book had 12 points. Someone had 12 points, but they actually had 8. Thankfully, I was statting the game, and I knew someone else that was statting the game. We compared, and we both said, yeah, she had 8, not 12. And the official book had that she had 12, though. So, you know, when I'm not at a game or doing the stats myself, I feel like most of the time I get most of the points right. But sometimes there's discrepancies
sure.
when I'm not statting it myself.
Sure. How are the crowds looking for basketball and wrestling now? I have no idea what your preconceptions were coming into our market here. Mm. But how's the support? How's it look for the Bulldogs, Badgers, and, you know, Spartans and all the ones you cover, Wampus Cats?
I'd say the support's pretty good. I'd say Priest River packs the stands really well. And Sandpoint does pretty well, too. I mean, that's for sure. I've been to Clark Fork, and I think it's kind of a down year for some of the basketball teams, so maybe not getting some locals out. But they usually have it pretty full over there, too. So obviously local sports is really centric to you know, everything
sure.
around here. A lot of people interested in it, for sure.
And if a person hasn't gone to a game, a basketball game, for example, mm-hmm. lately, what kind of play would they see now versus 10, 15 years ago? Maybe when their kids were in school, or maybe the grandkids were in school. If they went to a Bulldog game now, or a Wampus Cat, or Badger, or Spartan game, what kind of play would they see?
I would say look for more. It's very fast nowadays, so that makes it even harder to stat. But I was watching the Bonner's Ferry St. Mary's girls last night, and man, it's back and forth and back and forth. If you look down for like more than 2 seconds, you could miss like a steal and a point. And I'm like looking at the live stream, I'm having to pause it because like 5 things happened in like 3 seconds. The play's a lot more fast, and you're going to see a lot more three-pointers, I think, than maybe like 30, 40 years ago.
Sure, sure. And I don't know when the three-point arc came into the world over mm-hmm. here. Do they have shot clocks now?
Yeah, there is a shot clock. So I believe it last year, most of the schools had shot clocks, but it's officially, you know, this year officially you need to have a shot clock in the state of Idaho. I believe about 29 states now have a shot clock, mm-hmm. give or take one or two. But yes, 35-second shot clock in Idaho, and that is, you need to have that.
Yeah, I imagine so. I mean, but that's one more thing that can kind of go goofy too, right? Did the ball hit the rim or did it not? Did it reset the clock? I mean, it's mm-hmm. got to be more of a headache for the referees for sure. And there was a move afoot, and I don't know if it ever took off in basketball here. I know it did in Montana, where you'd have three referees for most of the varsity games mm-hmm. versus two. What's going on here?
There has been three at a lot. I believe the one last night in Bonner's Ferry had two, but most of the Sandpoint games this year I've had three, at least the ones that I've watched. I know at Battle for the Paddle this last week they did have three referees.
Good, 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 good. And so you're halfway through the season now, or more than that probably, I imagine, with basketball, huh?
We're about halfway. I was just talking this morning, putting the state schedules in, you know, just in case any of our teams make it to state. Girls basketball state is February 20th to 22nd. We got boys is March 6th to the 8th, and then state wrestling is February 28th to March 1st. So, yeah, I mean, we're almost at the end of January, believe it or not.
Crazy.
So it's getting there.
Yeah. So if you had a look in your crystal ball now, moving forward, do we have any state contenders in basketball?
Bonner's Ferry, for sure, will look to repeat. Bonner's Ferry boys basketball, that is. And if I had to go with a second team that I believe could do it, it's going to be Priest River boys basketball, and they are now solely first in the Central Idaho League standings after beating St. Mary's the other night, 54-44, and that puts them at 10-2 and 4-0 in league play on the year.
Wow, wow!
I think if we go for wrestling, I think Jordan Tyler at 190 pounds has a very good shot at winning the state title.
Right, right. And you were a collegiate athlete. Was it cross country, track? What did you do?
Yeah, both cross country and track. And yeah. On an organized team, I did that for about 2.5 years. And then sort of my junior, senior year of college, kind of did it on my own, unorganized. I'd run at meets unattached.
Oh, really?
Okay. Stuff, and just kind of made more sense for my life at the time.
Sure.
Just kind of do my own thing.
Sure, sure, sure. So you had that upbringing. I mean, you've always enjoyed sports.
Mm-hmm.
Is this the dream job? Is this the job that you thought it would be? I mean, how's this working into the world of Max?
Yeah, so I actually had no idea what I wanted to do. I had originally been going to school for broadcast and, like, radio sports, and I was actually my lead. I was a color commentator for actually the first one at my university. They never had it before until I, like, really budged them and nagged them to let us do a student broadcast. And we had a really good play-by-play commentator. He's actually the assistant athletic communications, whatever, some, you know, how the positions are nowadays with all the words.
Right.
But he's in the athletics department at FDU Florham, and he had a chance to cover the boys basketball win over Purdue.
Oh, wow.
So,
wow.
Fun, yeah. Fun. I kind of just went with sports, and after that, having all the experiences at my university. And is it the dream job? Some days it is, some days it's not.
Right.
But that's kind of like every job. I'd say, you know, this job is a lot better than others at the end of the day. So I enjoy it.
Right. And I guess by us talking, and I know you do some stuff on KRFY as well,
mm-hmm.
That kind of gives you the broadcast fix, I think, too. Do you see the future of writing and covering sports being more cross-dimensional that way, where you're going to be speaking more, maybe camera time stuff, as well as just writing the stories?
That's a good question. I think it is going to become more videos. And, you know, I actually have been thinking once I figure out the equipment to do a, you know, when I'm at a game, do a athlete, you know, player of the game sort of video, do like a 1 minute sure. interview, clip it and put it on,
yeah.
you know, Facebook, Twitter, something like that. That seems to be where a lot of it's headed. And I was reading an article the other day about, you know, how newsrooms are sometimes short staffed or for what you're doing. And It's going to be all online one day, eventually. But I do really like the print, and I like seeing it every day. Yeah. So,
well, I really enjoy watching what you're doing and following you, too. And you've done a great job here. And I hope you stick it out for a while more, and who knows what your career, where it'll take you. But hopefully this is been a good experience for you, and you've really done a good job of raising the awareness of local sports. So, Max Oswald, thank you for coming by. Great seeing you again. And I must tell you that we had a guest fall through, and I called Max yesterday afternoon, I think it was, and said, yep. Hey, would you like to talk? And I'm sure glad you did, too. I think the more people know about you and what you're doing, I think we're all better off that way. So thanks for coming by. When we come back, then we'll have Rob Talbot, who's the executive director of the Panada. He'll be stopping by, telling us about all the cool things going on at our iconic theater. So we'll see you after the break.
Care of our own, help out our neighbors, work hard, and pitch in where we're needed. That's small town living. But small town living doesn't have to mean sacrificing access to quality health care. At Kiniksu Community Health, our qualified care teams provide excellent medical, dental, pediatric, and behavioral health care for the residents of North Idaho. Kiniksu Community Health, building a healthier community with award-winning care and small-town warmth. Learn more at kchni.org.
The Post Falls Gun Show, sponsored by the Lewis Clark Trader for the Inland Empire, is coming to the Greyhound Park and Event Center. The Post Falls Gun Show features hundreds of tables full of guns, antiques, Indian artifacts, collectibles, coins, knives, art, and old West items. Buy, sell, trade, or just browse around. Two big days, Saturday 9 to 5 and Sunday 9 to 3. Don't miss the new Post Falls Gun Show at the Greyhound Park and Event Center this weekend, sponsored by the Lewis Clark Trader.
We all know just because gifts for loved ones can look like flowers, a spa day, or maybe even planning date night. But what about something that will truly last and protect your loved ones along the way? I'm talking about life insurance. I called SelectQuote to secure our coverage and couldn't believe how easy and affordable it was. I'm 40, and my $500,000 policy was only $16 a month. My husband's also 40, and his $500,000 policy was only $18 a month. And with their same-day coverage, there was no medical exam required, and we were covered by the time we hung up. With monthly payments less than the cost of a bouquet of flowers, this is the perfect time to make sure your family is protected.
Call SelectQuote at 1-800-596-2626 or go to SelectQuote.com to get your free quote today. That's 1-800-596-2626. 1-800-596-2626.
Details on example rate at SelectQuote.com.
Texting enrolls you in recurring automated marketing text messages. Consent not required to purchase. Message and data rates may apply.
Leaving for the gym so early?
I'm ready to go.
Since you started taking Nugenix Total T, you've been acting like when we met in our 20s.
I feel like myself again. Lower testosterone after turning 40 slowed me down. Nugenix Total T has been a game changer for me.
What is it about Nugenix Total T that's different?
It's a key ingredient called Testnor. It boosts free and total testosterone to help you get back the drive and energy from your youth. Total T is backed by 5 clinical studies.
I've seen the huge difference it's made for you in the gym, at work, and in the bedroom.
I'm so glad I sent them a text for my complimentary bottle. Text STREAK to 42424 right now for your complimentary bottle of Nugenix Total T. Nugenix is the number one selling testosterone boosting brand at GNC and Walmart. Do it now, and we'll also send you a bottle of Nugenix Thermo X, our newest, most powerful fat burner ever. Absolutely free. Text STREAK to 42424. That's STREAK to 42424.
Products and statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. These products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease or illness.
News Talk 97.1.
Well, we're back with Max Oswald like we planned for another section here. Max, thanks for hanging out for sure, and we'll get Rob caught up when we can too. So we were talking a little bit about getting used to life here, mm-hmm. and you had a little help around some of the games. Now you had an intern or something going on. How did that go?
Yeah, so it's like a mentorship program that Clark Fork does where every Friday or for a certain number of hours per week. Mine was a little bit more flexible because of my schedule, and they do like a mentor program, and I had a senior student, his name was Austin, and he works up at Schweitzer too, and that was really fun. He's a good photographer, so that's why he kind of did the they reached out to me and asked if I would do it. So we did that this past fall sports season and a little bit of the winter.
Yeah, that's a great program they have. They've been doing that for years out there too. Mm. And so Austin helped you out a little bit. That's all good.
He did.
And you have Jason still doing some photography for you?
Yeah, he really helps me out. You know, and I said earlier, I'm doing all those games. When there's eight games in one night and I'm able to get a photo for the print, it's so invaluable.
You bet. You had a Schweitzer date, I heard.
Yeah, so first time ever up there, first time skiing, and it was fun. I'll definitely do it again, and maybe if I get good enough, I'll take it. You know, I was thinking of maybe buying a pass next year, but they're so expensive. We'll see how good I get. That's going to be what really determines it.
Well, exactly right. I was sharing with you that Rob Talbot is a snow bum up there, too, a ski bum kind of guy.
Oh, yeah.
So my
every chance I get.
Exactly right. So my daughter has a lot of friends who work up there, lifties, and so when she comes back to visit, they always get us hooked up a little bit with that. It's an expensive way to go, but it's what a great place to have. So close to us, too. You know, 10 miles away from where we are right now. You have a world-class resort, for sure. And you had a date last week, and you guys are going back again?
Yeah, so my girlfriend, she's been about, 20, 25 times. So I need to get on the skill level where we can go down the runs together. So that's the plan.
Yeah, very good. Well, and you're young enough to, recover from all that kind of stuff, mm-hmm. too. So, Rob, you've been up a few times. This year, Rob Talbot from Canada is here.
Hey, good afternoon. How's it going?
Good, buddy. Good, buddy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, my wife and I like to go. I mean, kids go up. It's been different. I've been skiing since I was five. So, I ski patrolled for 17 years, about six or seven of those here. And so, right now, it's a completely different ballgame, skiing around musical chairs and magical carpet with my kids.
It is a little bit different now, isn't it?
And yeah.
I grew up skiing here as well, my adult life anyway. My kids all grew up on the mountain, too. I would take them both up there and on the backpack, which I shouldn't have done, for a couple of years when they were little. And then after that, they're both great skiers now. There's about 4 years difference between the two of them. So I used to have the alibi of the younger when I have to wait for Olivia. Go ahead mm-hmm. forward. And then they both got good. So now I have no alibis anymore. But but it's just a great place to raise kids here.
Yeah,
for
it
sure.
Is.
And speaking of great things we have here in town, we have the Panada Theater. And, people are talking about the changes that are going on there that you're proposing anyway for the lobby and all that kind of stuff. And people are asking me, what's going on at the Panada?
Well, we are discussing it and looking at making some changes to the lobby and opening that space up a little bit as far as really there's the concession stand that is there was put in the, I believe it was the 90s, and it's great to have it. It's been great. It's served its purpose, but we're getting a little more regular, higher numbers in the space, and when you have 300 to 500 people in there, that lobby needs every bit of room that it can have.
Right.
So people can move through and get to the bathrooms or get to concessions, get to the bar. So we're looking at how can we kind of move things around to use the space that we have and move things around. For those of you that have been around here for a while, you know that the Little Theater was purchased in the early 2000s, and part of that, one reason for that was because the Avalanche or Kamloops was too loud and was interrupting shows and concerts in the main theater. The other one was the possibility of using it as using part of the Little Theater, what's now the Little Theater, as a lobby. And so that's something we're looking at. Do we want to go that far? Do we want to use those retail spaces that are in the front that used to be the photography studio and the gift shop for the Historical Society? Do we want to use those two and expand the bathrooms and the concessions and bar areas into those?
Yeah.
Or how can we use the space that we have and still retain the historical character of the space?
And make it feasible, too, to mm-hmm. to man it and also to maybe get some more revenue.
Correct, yeah. Awesome. I mean, that's the other part is we really, we're trying to keep 129 events there in the space last year, and the majority of those are rentals from local dance studios, local nonprofits, other producers, and so there's a lot of there's a lot of other people that use the space, and we want to keep it accessible to other people.
Yeah.
And concessions make that possible. So we have a large part of our revenue stream is off of concessions.
Right.
And we want to, we definitely want to maximize that because, sure. you know, it doesn't help us when people go other places to get their beer at intermission and come back.
Bring it back.
Yeah. Or, well, they better not bring it back because that's somebody else.
I'm sure I heard that from somebody else.
That's against state law. So hopefully not bringing it back. And no outside alcohol allowed in the Panada, I will say to any troopers listening.
He looks really serious when he says that.
I'm very serious.
Great. That's really. And you know what's funny? People love the Panada, don't they? So they all have a vested interest in what you're doing. Mm-hmm. And I hope people are giving you advice. I mean, they let you know what they're thinking about some of
this. Yeah, we're getting a lot of people that are. You know, one of the things we had an open house last two Saturdays ago now, and week and a half. And one of the things that really stood out to me was how much people were. They had opinions, they had thoughts, but they were also very supportive. They're like, you know what, this is what I'd like to see this, and I know that you all have the community's interest, the Panada's interest in at heart. So please,
So lucky to have you for one thing. You know both sides of the aisle that way for sure. And
yeah, thanks.
It sounds like you've got a good board going now too.
I think we've got a great board, and you know we have some volunteers that have that are board adjacent.
Okay.
That really do a lot for the pen as well, and so the board with those board adjacent people are really, it's a really strong group, and the staff and the volunteers that we have, the concessionary volunteers that we have are really amazing. So it's a really great team, and you know a lot of variety of ideas, but you know I'm really really proud of this group for having these ideas and staying together, having this variety of ideas and still staying together and planning to move forward. It's a hard thing to do, especially when there's so much passion wrapped up in a space.
Absolutely. Do me a favor. Tell the listeners one thing that they don't know about the Panada that you've either discovered or is like this little secret.
Well, so I would say that the there's so many things. There's so many the little things that aren't that interesting, but there's some, you know, like the double roof. There's, you know, you got to go through two roofs to get to the roof. You know, they put a roof on top of a roof at one point. That's just not that interesting, but I doubt anybody really
knows. Now that you mention it probably isn't, it's cool.
The sick chicken, which everybody's seen the sick chicken. There's a lot of different.
I don't know about that.
Maybe you haven't. So if you go into the auditorium, as you're walking into the auditorium, we have those three kind of Art Deco arches that are lit up from the bottom. The third one down on the left, the one closest to the stage on the left on the northern side. Back in the 50s had some water damage, and that water damage was repaired by a mason, and they told him he had to paint it, and he said, well, I'm not a painter. He said, well, they told him that if he didn't paint it, he didn't get paid, so he painted it.
Right.
And when you go down and look at it, you can see his work compared to the original, and it is not very good. And he made the chicken throw up.
Oh,
so there's these little chickens or peacocks all the way down on either side. And there's two of them back to back as kind of a coat of arms, and that one is throwing up. Oh. And that happened back in the 50s.
Well, so, on that note, one quick event. What's going on in the Panada? One quick one.
We got Jazzy Nutcracker tonight, and I'm gonna throw in Hundreds of Beavers, and then go to Panada.
Hundreds of Beavers.
Hundreds of Beavers on Saturday.
Panada.org, right?
Panada.org/events, and you can find out about all these.
Rob, thank you very much. Appreciate
Thanks
it.
For having me.
Good seeing you again, and we'll catch up soon.
Sounds good.
And we'll see you next week.
Yep.